Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Baba Kama Daf Samach Amud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud, looking at the next passage of Mishnah Dalid in Perak Vav, the fourth Mishnah in the sixth chapter of Masechet Baba Kama, continuing to deal with Nizkei Esh. Hasholech et HaBe'ira. If somebody sends out a fire, or creates a fire that goes out, ve'achla itzimu avanimu afar, and it destroys wood or even rocks or dirt, it singes them. Chayav, shenemar k'tetze itzum atzah kotzim nechal gadish wakamo hasadeh shalem shalem avir tabeira. The seminal text about Esh talks about burning thorns, burning a stack of wheat, burning wheat that's standing in its stalks, or a field. The mention of the field indicates also the dirt. Now, Amar Rav, Lama l'dechata v'achmana kotzim gadish kama v'sadeh, why does the Torah have to write all four of them? The answer is tzrichi, we need all of them. De'ikata v'achmana kotzim, if the Torah only wrote thorns, havmana kotzim u'dechai v'chiyev v'achmana, the Torah found me liable for the destruction of thorns, mishum neshchiach ishkabayu, shchiach t'pasha. The fires are always near thorns, and therefore it's negligent of me to allow a fire to get there. But the stacked wheat, where there generally isn't a fire around there, therefore it's not common that there would be negligence around it, I wouldn't be liable. So flip it. Why didn't the Torah just write Gadish? Because there's great loss to the Nizak. But the Nizak loses very little when his thorns are burned. Maybe you're not liable at all. Good, so now I need kotzim and gadish. Kama lamali, why do I need the word kama, which talks about standing corn? So ma, when we say corn, we mean the British sense of corn, a grain. Ma kama begalui, afko begalui. Kama is something that is exposed, so therefore only exposed things are liable, which of course is the famous exemption of tamun ba'esh. But ula Rabbi Yehuda the machayvenis ke tamun ba'esh, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that you're liable for things that are undercover, that are burned up. Kama lamali, what's kama there for? L'rabot kol balei kama, to tell you as an illusion, anything that stands up, meaning even animals that are burned up, you're liable for. So for Rabbanan, who agree with that halachic conclusion, l'rabot kol balei kama menaluhu, what's their source going to be? Nafguluhumi oha kama. It says oha kama. Nechal kotzim v'gadish oha kama osadet. For Bihura, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the O? O min bayel el chalek. He says you need O to distinguish, meaning to separate them, and say that if you just burn thorns or you just burn a field, etc., you're liable. You don't need to burn all of them. So Rabbanan have to agree with that principle. Where are they going to get it from? From the chalek min alahu nafkaluhumi o hasadeh. It says o akama o hasadeh. So one O is there to include balei koma. The other is to separate them. Rabbi Yehuda says, Oasadeh is nothing to learn because it had to say that because it said Oakama. Just a parallel phrasing in the Pasuk. Now, the last one is Sadeh. Sadeh Lamali, what do I need the field for? Basically the point of our Mishnah, that if it burned up the furrow or it singed his rocks, I'm still liable even though those things aren't flammable, said Sadeh. So why doesn't the Torah just take the least obvious one, which is Sadeh, and I'll know that I'm liable for everything else? The answer is I still would need Kama for Tamun. Tzricha, if the Torah only wrote Sadeh, I'm only liable for things that are in the field. But if I start a field and a fire and it burns a house or it burns an animal that's outside somewhere, I'm not liable because not in the field. Kamash Malan, all these other things. Okay, now we have a long agadah that will keep touching back to the halachic component of Nizkeish. Punishment only comes to the world while Rishayim exist. But the first ones to get punished are the tzaddikim. So the esh is the punishment, and it finds the thorns. Ematai esh yotza. When does fire come out? When there are thorns, the evil people. But who gets it first? The tzaddikim. So umatzakotzim is as if to say that which draws the fire out, the rishayim. And the first thing to get punished is the gadish, which is the tzaddikim. So it doesn't say that it consumes the gadish, but rather the gadish is consumed, meaning shenachal gadish kvar. but the Gadish gets fully consumed before it moves on. Tzaddikim get first. Tana Rav Yosef, Mai dichti v'atem lo titzu ish betach beto ad boker. How do we understand the meaning of Am Yisrael being warned not to leave their house all night during Makat Bechorot? This puts a little bit of a softer touch on the last drasha, and he says that once the Malach HaMavet has rights to go kill in a plague, it doesn't distinguish between tzaddikim and rishayim. So therefore, just because you're a good guy doesn't mean you can go out in the face of the plague. You have to stay inside. And the plague starts with the tzaddikim, shenemar v'chratim imich tzaddik v'rasha. And Yechezkel says, I'm going to destroy the tzaddik and the rasha. So the tzaddik comes first. Bachir Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said this drasha, and then he wept. Kulei hainami lein domin. And the tzaddikim aren't even worthy to be able to escape this punishment. So Amar Le'Abayi, Abayi said to Tivutu L'Gabayu, it's actually good for them. Dichtiv kimnei ha'ra'an esaf ha'tzaddik. That the tzaddik is, the literal translation of that is that the tzaddik dies because of the evil. But the way that he's reading it homiletically is that tzaddik dies in face of the evil, meaning that tzaddik dies before he has to see the terrible evil. It's good that tzaddikim should die first, so they shouldn't have to see what happens next. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, the olami kanes adam b'chitov yetze b'chitov. Literally, what this means, a person should always come into the city and leave the city when it's light. So he takes that same pasuk Rav Yosef read and turns it differently, saying you don't leave in the middle of the night, you leave during the day. Tana Rabbanan. So several bright thought now about punishment. Dever ba'ir, if there's a plague in the city, kanes raglacha, stay put. Shenemar v'atem lo titzu ish betach v'to ad boker. Right? Ve'omer, lech ami bo b'chaderecha uskort latecha ba'decha. Come into the house and close the doors. Ve'omer michus shakel cherev b'chaderim ima. And then the pasuk in Hazinu, that the cherev is destroying, is killing outside, and there's fear inside. Now, my ve'omer, why do we need the three pasukim? Why is the first pasuk right now? Maybe that's only at night. During the day you can go out. Therefore we have the pasuk from Yeshayahu to say, come into the house. He said, maybe you should only come into the house when there's no fear in the house. But if there's fear in the house, it's better to be outside with people. And at least you won't be afraid. You have misery loves company, as it were. Maybe that's better. Therefore, the pasuk from Hazinu, when there's destruction outside, there's fear inside, meaning afagav the chadorim ema, even though there's fear inside, michus shakal cherev. Outside there's death. So stay inside where it's just scary, and outside where there's death. Rava v'ilan ritcha, Rava, when there was a time of punishment, have a sachar kavi, he would close his windows. Dichtiv ki alam mavet b'chaloneinu. And Yirmiyahu says, death has come through the windows. Close the window. Tan Rabban Rav b'ir, now with the opposite. If there's famine in the city, pazer aglecha, get your feet going. Shtemar b'ir rav b'aretz, v'ir rav amitam, l'agur b'arasham, ki chaveda rav b'aretz, Avram went left because there was a famine. V'omer, im amarnu navo ha'ir, v'arav b'ir v'amatnu sham. This is the story of the famous four mitzoraim who were outside. And they became the vehicle for the salvation of Am Yisrael when the Arami camp suddenly abandoned and left all their food there because Hashem confused them. Now, my view, Mer, why do we need the second pasuk? Maybe Avram left because there's no safek nefashot involved. In other words, he was leaving a place of famine to go somewhere where there was food. But maybe in the case of these mitzoraim, where they go into the camp to get the food, but on the other hand they're risking their lives, that teaches you that you should even leave where there's a famine, even if it's going to be dangerous. And what does the king say? Let's go attack Aram. If they let us live, we'll live, and if not, we'll die. But at least we have a chance. With the famine here, we're going to die for sure. Tanaran, Dever by ear, Al Yalech Adam Bem Saderach. If there's a plague in the city, don't walk in the middle of the street. Why Mnesha Malach Amamet Malach Bem Sadrachim? Malach Amamet walks in the middle. Kevon Di Ahiva Le Rashuta Maskila Hedya. Since he now has Rashut to kill, he walks proudly and simply in the middle, no problems. Shalom by ear, if things are quiet, Al Yalech Libet Sidedrachim. Don't walk on the side of the path. The Kevon delay the Rashuta, since the Malach Amamet is there without permission. Machavi Chavuye. Umaski, he hides and walks, so he's always near the side. All right, Tanar Baran, Dever by ear, if there's a plague in the city, Alikanis Adam Yachil Beit HaKnesset. Don't come into the shul alone. Shemalach HaMavet Mafkid Sham Kilav. That's where the Malach HaMavet hangs out. He leaves his stuff. He'll find you there alone, and you're not coming out. That's if there aren't kids learning there. V'lomatzlu Be'asara, or there isn't a minion there, meaning usually. If they are, then the Malach HaMavet stays away, and then you could even go there alone. Tanar Baran, Klavim Bochim, if your dog's weeping, Malach HaMavet Balayir, that's a sign that Malach HaMavet is coming. Klavim Sachakim, if you hear dogs laughing or having a good time, Elanovi Balayir, it's a sign that Eliyahu is coming. The dogs can sense in advance what's going to happen. Vani Mili Delet Bahuna Keva, that's only if there's a bunch of male dogs, but if it's a female dog, then whatever reactions they're having, it has to do with their mating and everything else, and doesn't tell us anything about the supernatural world. Yati Rav Ami Rav Asi coming of Yitzchak Nafcha. It's a famous story, and it leads to a famous idiom. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, the great students of Rabbi Yochanan, were sitting in front of Yitzchak Nafcha. Mar Malei Lememar Shmata. One of them said, we don't know which one, said Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, teach them halacha. Mar Malei Lememar Agadah. The other one said, teach Agadah. Patach Lememar Agadah. He started to say some Agadah v'lo Shavik Mar, and the other guy didn't let him. Patach Lememar Shmata v'lo Shavik Mar. He started to say halacha, and the other guy didn't let him. They're insisting. Amar Lehem. You know what you guys are like? It's like a man who has two wives. One is young and one is old. The young one keeps taking out his white hair because she wants him to look young. The old one keeps taking out his dark hair. She wants him to look old. He ends up bald on both sides. Is a famous Hebrew idiom. So Amar Lahem, so Yitzchak Nafcha said to his students, he said, and you guys same thing, you won't let me say this, you won't let me say that. I end up bald on both sides. So he said, I'll tell you an idea that will work for both of you, meaning it'll have Agadah and Halacha in it. And he goes back to our Pasuk, Ki Tetzei Eishu Matzah Kotzim. All right, that's our Pasuk. Ki Tetzei Eishu Matzah Kotzim. Teitse me atzma, meaning if it goes out on its own, shalem shalem avir tavira, the one who caused it has to pay. Hamar Hakadosh Baruch Hu alay l'shalem tavira shivarti. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, I caused the fire, I have to pay. Ani hitzati eish betzion, I ignited a fire in Tzion shenemar ve'yatzet eish betzion tochal yisarotea in eicha. Ani atid libnotam be'eish. So then I am going to rebuild. It's my job to rebuild it. I'm going to rebuild it with fire. I will be a fire around Yerushalayim. All right, that was the Agadah. Shmatata, he took the same pasuk and then taught halacha. Patach katub nizkei mamono, the Torah starts with kitetzei eish, something which is your mama, not you. V'siyem nizkei gufo, but it ended up referring to you as the one who did the damage. Hamavir tabeira. Lomar lacha yisho mishum chitzav. To tell you that Eish is like, and as if you sent an arrow, it's as if it's Nezek that you did with your body, and not Yisho Mishum Amono, which we discussed in the second parak, and the third parak. Tov. Now we go back and a very interesting take on a well-known passage towards the end of Sefer Shmuel, where David, at one particular point in battle with the Plishtim, comes to attack the city of Beit Lechem, and he suddenly becomes very thirsty, and three of his giborim go in and capture a well and bring him water, and he's so taken by their sacrifice and by their dedication that he refused to drink the water, and he libates it to God. But the drush on it is very interesting. Who would give me water from there? So these three giborim went in, and they broke their way through the Plishti camp. Then they took water from there. Good. So now my coming by the understanding midrashically is that really David and these men were having a halachic discussion. I'm a Rava, so we have three takes on it. One was of Nachman, Tamun Be'esh coming by. He was asking, am I liable if I burn the city and there's something that's buried here? We'll see why, because based on the Pasuk in later in Shmuel and the parallel Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. He was asking, is the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, which is amchai for Talmud, or pata like Rabbanan? Pashtulei made a pashtulei. And they answered whatever they answered. Funamar, gedishim nisarim di Yisrael habu. He said, no, the problem was that there were stacks of barley owned by Yisrael there. Tamitami plishtim bahu, and the plishtim were hiding in them. Coming by Elaine, David asked, can I save my life by using somebody else's money? Which, in other words, burn the barley, destroy that, but that'll kill the plishtim. Shalchul, and what did they answer? Asur lahatzil atzmo mamon chavero. You're not allowed to do that. Aval ata melech ata, but you are a king. Umelech parts lasot laderech vein mochin miyadol. It's eminent domain for a king. He can just go through somebody's property and take it, and nobody can stop him. So in the same way, you can burn that stuff down. For Abanan, Vitem Rabba Bar Mary Amru, we have another third approach to what he happened. Gdishim nesorin di Yisrael havu. There were piles of barley that Yisrael had harvested. Gdishim da adashim de plishtim. And the plishtim had piles of lentils near each other. Kaibailu, and he asked them, Mahu li tol gdishim shal sorin di Yisrael iten lifnei bem to. Can I go take the sorin shal Yisrael and give it in front of my animals? Amanat l'shalim gdishim shal adashim de plishtim. And then, when I conquer the plishtim, I'll pay the Yisrael with the lentils that I conquer from them. Can I do that? Hashalchule, and the answer was, Chavol yashiv rasha gzela yishalem. When a rasha pays back, it's also a gzela. Meaning, afopisha gzela mishalem. Even though you pay back the gzela, rashahu. You steal something, and then you intend to pay it back, you're still a rasha. Which means, if you intend here to take Saorim, even though you intend to, I'm sorry, you take their Saorim, you intend to pay it back, nonetheless, you're still a Rasha. Aval, ata melech ata, but you're a king. Okay, now, bishlam al namandam alach lufei. I understand according to this last opinion. And yichiv chadkra, that's why in Shmuel it says, vatisham chalkat asadem alea adashim. The field was full of lentils. In the parallel pasuk of Devarim, it says, it was filled with barley. Now I understand why it's the one's barley, one's lentils, because really a trade-off. But according to the first opinion, said he wanted to burn it. What do I need these two psukim for? Because not only were the plishtim hiding in the barley, they were hiding also in the lentils. And he wanted to know whether he could burn them down, whether it be chayiv for tomun. Now, the second question, which is he wanted to know if he had the right to burn it down and make them lose their money in order to kill the plishtim. That's why it says in the pasuk that he stood up and saved the field. That Shama ben Agei Harari, the hero of this story, or one of the heroes of the story, stands up and saves the field. I understand, he saved it from being burned. He got the plishtim without having to burn anything. Lamanda malachlufi, but according to the last opinion, who said he wanted to feed his animals with the Yisrael stuff, and then pay them back with the plishtim stuff, my vatsila, what is the pasuk mean that he saved it? The lo shavaklu lachlufi. He stopped this process that was going to go on, that's technically legal, but he stopped it from going on, and instead destroyed the plishtim without any problem. Now, bishlamahani tarti anirchtiv trei krai. Both of these opinions, I understand because I have two psukim. But according to the first opinion that he was asking about tamun ba'esh, what am I doing with that Hashem? Sorry, I don't need either of them. My ba'ili krai. The answer is he was asking two questions. Tamun and one of the other two questions. Either about using Yisrael's stuff in order to get the plishtim, or the swapping. Now I understand according to the last two why David didn't want to drink the water. Since there's an Yisur involved, and that's how they got the water, I don't want to get a benefit. But according to the first opinion, he was just asking about Esh. He asked a question, their answer was, the halacha like rabbanon your pater. My lo avad David shatam. Why didn't you want to drink it? The answer is delo amrinu mishmayu, that they did not quote this halacha properly in the name. Of who they said it. Amar kach mekublanim beit dino shel Shmuel haramati. David says, I know this from Shmuel's beit din. Kol amoser atzmo lamavet al divrei Torah. Anybody who goes to give up his life, as it were, for Divrei Torah, we can't quote halacha in his name. And that's why he didn't want to drink this water. What did he do instead? He libated them. We understand that they were acting L'Shem Shemayim to try to stop him from doing this questionable act. That's why he wanted to take this water and libate it. Sechotam Hashem? The answer is Damrinu Mishma de Gemara, because they quoted a tradition in telling him whatever the halacha was, and said, aha, the Shem Shemaim, so I'm going to pour this water out to God. Okay, the next part of Mishnah Dalet, Avraga der shugavo dalan amoro der chabim onahar patur, says as follows, that if the fire crossed over a fence, which is 4 amot high, and we'll say that means at least 4 amot high, or crossed all the way over public area, derech harabim, or over a river, then he's patur. And you have a fire in your backyard, and the fire jumps over such an area that you couldn't control. We have teaching that says if the fence is 4 amot, you're chayav. Our Tana is starting from a high fence and going down, meaning 6 amot patur. If it's 6 high, you're patur. 5 amot patur. 8 amot patur. All the way to 4 amot, you're patur. So read, our Mishnah is saying, Shugavoa ad dalanamot. Tana brahmi lamata lamala kachashiv. The Tana the bright is starting low, saying, Shteyamot chayav. It's only 2, you're chayav. 3 amot chayav. 8 amot chayav. You're chayav until it gets to 4 amot. So they agree that at 4 amot, you're patur. But since they're coming from opposite directions, they render it differently. Amarava. Dalanamot shamru de patur, afilibus de kotsim. Rava said that this 4 amot can even be in a thorn field, which means that it's an uneven field. So our papa adds the following. Our papa, misfat kotsim lamala dalamot, as long as from the thorn that's absolutely highest, it's 4 amot from there. You can't say it's 4 amot and then the thorns are popping up. It means there has to be a distance of 4 amot of airspace from where the fire could get over to where the first thing that could get ignited would be. Amar Rav, lo shanu ela b'kol achat. Rav says that this entire thing of 4 amot is only if it's a fire that's shooting up. Aval b'nechfefet, but if it's a low fire that's spreading, afilu ad me'a machayiv, no matter how high the fence is, you're chayiv, because that's a fire that the fence is not going to stop. Shmuel amar matnitin b'nechfefet. Shmuel says the opposite. He says the dalan amot is about a low fire. Aval b'kol achat, if it's shooting up, afilu kol shu patur. Anything will stop it, because if it's shooting up, as long as you have some sort of little fence, it won't be able to have a ground movement to move ahead. Now, Tana Kalatei Rav, we have a brayta that supports Rav. Medvar Mum Kol Achar Chavavad Eitzim Metzuyin La. If it's low and there's enough wood and kindling that it can catch, Afilu Ad Me'a Mil Chayev. No matter how far it is, even 100 Roman miles, you're Chayev. Avran Ar Shlulichim Rechavim Tchet Amot Patur. And the end of the brayta, which we're going to come back to, says that if it crossed over a river or a shlulit, we'll see what a shlulit is, which is at least 8 Amot wide, then you're Patur. Now, back to the Mishnah for a second. Derech HaRabim. Now, you will see later on in the Mishnah, and we will see this in the next podcast, on Samach Aleph Amud Bet, Rabbi Lazar's opinion that Derech HaRabim is 16 Amot wide. So, Mantan Rav, that Rabbi Lazar, non Rabbi Lazar, Mer, Shishre Amot, Kederech Rishut HaRabim. And he believes that 16 Amot, if he could jump over 16 Amot, then you're Pater, you couldn't control that. Now, on Nahar, what about the river? Rav Amar Nahar Mamash. Rav says a river means a real river, means a riverbed. Ushmuel Amar Arita de Delai. It can even be a channel that's dug in from where they sort of irrigate from. Namanda Amar Nahar Mamash, according to Rav, who says a river, Rav Agav Delai Kamaya. There doesn't have to be any water in it because it goes down deep and it's somewhat wet. And if the fire jumps over that, you couldn't control it. Manda Amar Arita de Delai, but according to Shmuel, who says it's the irrigation ditch, that only works if there's water in there. Because if there's not water in there, it's totally dry, then the fire could certainly spread, and that's not something that without something he could have controlled. Now, Tranatam, the Elum of Sikin Lepeah, we have a Mishnah in Peah, that says the following are considered to be a divider for Peah, meaning that if you have Peah in the field, and you have a huge field, and you give one paya for one field, but if let's say there's a huge road that goes down the middle, we consider it two different fields, you got to give paya from each side. So what divides it? Hanachal, which is a ravine, hashlulit, we'll discuss what that is, derech hayachid, a path owned by an individual, derech harabim, a public area, a public path. Good, and then there's more. My shlulit, what is a shlulit? A ravyura marshmuel, makom shemek shemim sholin sham, a place where rainwater gathers, what we'd call a puddle. In modern Hebrew, that's a shlulit. Rabbi Amar Yochanan, matha maim shemachalekat shalala gapeha. Says, no, it's an irrigation trench, which gives off shalal, sort of like a loot of the rain to its banks. Namandam makom shemek shemim. shemeg shamim sholin sham kol shekenem atamayim. So the Rav Shmuel's opinion that says a puddle would be a divider, so that if it's a divider, then certainly he'd agree that an irrigation ditch would be. But once someone says an irrigation ditch, but a puddle is certainly not. Why? They're just called like potholes, like receptacles in the ground. That's all they are, and therefore that's not a division. Okay, we'll stop at this point. In the next podcast, we will complete our study of the sixth parak as we finish up Mishnah Dalet and then go further with the Mishnayot. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.